pray with me. Loving God, thank you for your word. Your word that talks about your love for us. And as we reflect upon it, may we hear that love you have for us. May it become the truth in our hearts as well as in our minds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some children, young children, were asked to write a description of love. Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hand got arthritis too. That's love. Billy, age 4. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Chrissy, age 6. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Danny, age 7. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Nika, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. Noelle, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. In all of those descriptions of love, they all use the same word, love, but they mean different things. Today we continue our series on love and what we mean when we say the word love. As I just alluded to, in the English language, there basically is only one word for love, love. And yet in the Greek language, there are 7 or more words for love. And 4 of them are in the Bible. Each one has a different meaning, a different nuance, a different object. On Ash Wednesday, I talked in general terms about how love is making less of ourselves so that others can be more of themselves. The first Sunday of Lent, I talked about Eros love. That's the passionate love, the love that we celebrate on Valentine's Day. The next Sunday, I talked about philia love. That's the love of one family member for another. I talked about how Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. And the name of the city expresses philia love. And today, we talk about agape love. And next Sunday, I will be talking about storge love. The love of family, which is different from philia love. Recently, I came across the following. The writer writes, I have gone shopping after work one evening. The store is crowded. The checkout lines are long. It's been a long day. I'm slumped against my cart, sighing in frustration at how long the cashier is taking, merely because I'm tired and irritable. An older woman has gotten into the line behind me and has apparently taken notice of my irritation. And the other woman says, I know how you feel. If they would just go back to where they belong, it wouldn't take so long to get through the line. I look around to realize we are the only white folks in the line. And I said to the lady behind me, are you a Christian? And the woman says, yes, I am. And I said to her, are you sure about that? And I turned my back to ignore her, but she made some muttering noises and got out of the line to join another. that was an illustration of when agape love is not shared on the part of the woman in back. But I want to begin talking about agape love from another, in another context. You see, in the early Christian church, communion was a part of a larger meal called an agape meal, or love feast. And I tend to think of it as a potluck supper that has incorporated in it the service of communion. I tend to think of it, but it's a potluck supper that has an order to it. Now imagine this. It's a meal where everyone has been invited to share their food with others. Probably some were poor and could not bring much if they could bring anything at all. And in Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, which is, includes right after what my passage I'm going to share with you, is the earliest words of institution of the communion service that we have in the Bible. But before that, he writes, "Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it's not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you." I think Paul was a little upset. The purpose of the meal was to bring people together, just like a potluck meal does. And they share love by sharing the food. But for various reasons, people were bringing their food, but they weren't sharing it. They were eating their own food. So hungry people didn't get much or didn't get anything. You see, agape love is about love for all people, as God and Christ have loved us. How many of you had to learn John 3:16 when you were growing up in church? We had to memorize it because it gives the best description of love, agape love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." We see this kind of love in our first John passage as well. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He or she who is born of God knows love, loves God." It's a sacrificial love. Agape love is loving others as God has loved us. It's not an easy love. It's not. I understand that. Because we all have people we hate or cannot stand. But agape love reminds us that we need to love them as much as we love ourselves. It's the exact opposite of how many people use the English word love today. In a sense, we use the word love to speak of loving someone specific or some specific group. Agape love is reversing that and loving all people. Not with an emotional love, but a love that says, "I want for you just as much as I want for myself. I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. Just as good things happen to me, and for me. I want that for you too. And if we can express agape love, then we find that it affects our relationship with the other person. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking that person more. If you do them a good turn, you will find yourself disliking them less." Agape love is what allowed Jesus to love, to forgive even those who hurt him. Sure, he got angry. But what parent doesn't get angry at a child who does something wrong as a way of teaching them? We're really big on eros love. And we're okay with philia love. But we have a difficult time with agape love. We want our cake and we want to eat it too, and we don't want to share it with those that we don't like or those that we don't trust. But that's our calling as disciples of Christ, to share our cake with others. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself, because it's a big thing for me too, to think of someone that we have a difficult time with. And we find it very easy to say, "Oh, I dislike that person. I can't stand to be around that person." And I want you to try to love them. Think of them in positive ways. Do something for them that they need or would like to have done. And see what happens. See if C.S. Lewis is right. I imagine that you might find yourself starting to feel different about the other person. Paul in Romans, in chapter 12, writes, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be claimed to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That is agape love. And I think we all need to work on enlarging our sphere of love. Nika, age 6, said it right. Very profound for a child of 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. And look what she did. Start with a friend you hate. Learn to let go of the hate and just start with a friend. Make them a friend. It's the least, and it's the most that we can do as followers Christ. Amen.